Good morning.
Good morning, Rob.
Hey, Rick. How are you?
I'm great. We got Dave on here, too.
Hey, Rob. What's going on? Good morning.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Emily cannot join us today. She cannot join us today. But we just want to congratulate her. She just got named to the Leadership Advisory Council. Basically, I think it's all the between managers and the Naratol, who's the president of U.S. Americas, and so she's going to be on this like leadership council to represent, I guess the managers and stuff like that. But she'll be part of it, so that's a big deal for her.
Yeah, those are great opportunities to demonstrate just competence and knowledge of your business and become politically familiar with the powers to be. It's an important step in the progress of potentially getting to the next one.
Yeah. So Emily's a rising star there, Rob.
Well, the fact that she was interested enough to be on this call says that she's a coach and she's a eager learner. And those are critical elements of success in any business.
Yeah.
Tell me a leader that's not excited about their business.
Yeah.
Not excited about the future, not excited about the opportunity, not excited about, their particular team, their ability to change the world. I mean, those are the people that change, that become CEOs. Not the guy that's the most competent.
You'd
love it to be the most competent sometimes, but you know what? A lot of it's chemistry. A lot of it's your ability to influence people. And a lot of it's just plain, how do you say it? It's not always the A-plus student that wins the game. It's a matter of, the person that is the leader. Right?
Yeah,
the leader.
Who does the work? Emily is that way. She's fully, we always use the term fully engaged. She's fully engaged. So we're very lucky. I mean, she's a good kid. And, I call her a kid because she's not too much, but she's doing all the right things.
She's young, right? Yeah.
Anyway. So I just, this is crazy, Rob. We're in December. And go figure. As Dave and I are doing our reviews with all of, doing our normal calls with all of our clients, we're basically, though, solidifying, how this is a team that we, we're all working together as a team with each one of our clients. But we can proudly say that everybody, got through this pandemic and nobody blew up. There was no emotional, where people panicked and we didn't panic and, so everybody is now enjoying the fruits of, which is surprising where we're at, with the market and everything else like that. But, by having a disciplined and repeatable process and a financial plan to guide them through this, everybody made it through. So we're basically now on our calls, everybody's saying, I cannot believe it. There's no way in the world I would have thought we would have been not only positive, up 10%, up whatever, whatever they are, depending on the mix, but it's like, so we are basically congratulating them on, and we're getting stories from friends of theirs who sold out because of this and that. And so we're sort of planting the seed that, look, we have, we can't take everybody, but if there's a fit, we can add more people on, but because of our process, because what we're doing. But I think, I know you always talk about this bank of trust. I think Dave and I really made a lot of deposits into that bank of trust with all of our clients this year. So, and I have to say, thank you for Supernova, because that kept us fully engaged with our clients. I mean, we were right on top of them the whole time. There was no surprises. Nobody was wondering, what's happening. Everybody knew what our position was, and it was based on the plan. And we were smart enough to say, look, I don't know when this is going to recover, but we know you're in good things. We're going to recover as it does, but Anyway, so it's a little bit of patting ourselves on the back, but also making sure the clients know that this is a team, we're in it together. And so we're congratulating them for not panicking, for staying with the process and all the other good stuff. So I do think we're gaining a lot of, again, and I just know this from prior times, when you go through these, you know, crazy times, whether any kind of financial crisis, once you get people through it, man, they're going to stick with you as long as you don't do something stupid. But they've, you know, anyway, so I do think it's the process of Supernova that really, and the engagement with our clients that helped us, and we were, you know, we stuck to the process and we got everybody through it. So anyway, so that's a little Supernova where it benefited, but we also know a lot about these clients too. So we're there with them, with their, you know, families, with their, with, you know, we have a deep dive into what they're doing. So anyway, okay. I just wanted to sort of share that.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate it because I just wrote it down. I've got it with a sticker note in front of me, and just remind people that these are the payoffs that you get by doing the 12-4-2s, which is the hard work.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't rather just go play tennis and take the whole pandemic off, right?
Yeah, right.
And there literally have been people that have done that.
Wow.
I can't go to work, so I'll call in and let you know, and they don't call their clients, and they play golf or tennis or do whatever, and call call somebody periodically, and the sales assistants are the ones that are sitting there running the practice.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what you need to be, when you hesitate to ask, that's what you're letting people deal with, okay? That's their financial advisor. And so is that a fair thing to do, to let them sit there and pay the same fees that you're paying and get nothing?
Right. No, there's no, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
That really,
so,
yeah,
but I think everybody needed to hear that. Everybody, you know, needed to hear from us when this was going on. And, you know, that's one of the things I guess we did right this year. You know, when we look at everything that we did right. So look at how business has changed. We're doing this. We're still remote, Rob. We are still not in our offices, so we may not go in for a while yet. And so, Margaret, we've had a couple of, you know, we have a skeleton staff in our offices, if you will. Like, Margaret gets to go in a couple of days a week. But still, we're doing this remotely. We've been able to fully function. We've been able to, we have growth in our business this year, net new assets, the whole deal, and we've been able to.
We're up. I just looked at the numbers, Rick,
yeah.
And you know, so we're going to be up, and because we have a pretty good idea where we're going to kind of finish the year. So we're up about between 12% and 13% year over year in revenue, and we're up about 12. A little over 12 million in net new assets. So, you know, double digit growth really in both assets and revenue on a year over year. And 2019 was a great year. So
yeah.
I think that's a testament to our ability to grow and, you know, get more market share.
Great. Congratulations.
And it's still doing the stuff, like, you know, even though we're doing it in different places, Dave's in one place, I'm in one place, Margaret's in another place, but we're able to put it all together and do it in a really challenging time. So, I think we're just, you know, reevaluating the year, what went right, what went wrong. But I think the one thing that kept us on track was the Supernova discipline. And it then, in turn, helped our clients. And like I said, I mean, everybody got through this, Rob. I mean, we had nobody that, you know, said, I'm bailing. And I think because they understood it. And if we didn't have a financial plan, I think that would have been hard.
All right. Let me ask you. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you were going to hire a new coach for 2021, what would make you hire them?
If we were going to hire what? A coach?
A new coach.
A new coach. Well, I mean, number one, you'd want to see, somebody's track record. What are you bringing to the table? What's your process?
I'm more interested in what you need from, I mean, what's missing for you guys? What would you, if you said, okay, we need a coach to fix this, what would it be?
Well, I think for our particular one, I think we don't do a great job of marketing. One of the things I wanted to even ask you today, I mean, I know we always get these things about, digital marketing, social media, stuff like that. We're just scratching the surface. We really don't dig into it. Now, do I have a LinkedIn site? Yep. Does UBS have content that I could put on all the time? Yep. Do I do it? Once in a while. I mean, not something consistently, because I don't know how effective that is. We have new digital marketing people, all this other kind of stuff. We don't do that. Now the question is, are we missing something? If somebody could show us how to do that, and that might be helpful if it's worthwhile. I can't quantify it if it's worthwhile or not right now. I mean,
yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Marketing is a proponent of it. I definitely think for us, and we've always talked about this, it's, Rick almost doesn't even need kind of that marketing component. I agree. Like, we can, our digital presence and all that stuff, I think it's always good to have that as up to date and as, efficient as possible. But, it is the asking for business and the goodwill that we have developed with our existing clients, and obviously the goodwill that Rick has specifically for decades in the community, doing a lot of the charity work, knowing, a lot of the people in the community. I think it's the ask, it's how do we get that ask level of being comfortable. And I think, Rob, you mentioned it earlier in the conversation about, there's other people that are not getting the right and a good quality and value of service from either they don't have an advisor or an advisor that's doing them some kind of disservice, where we have a very good process. We are always doing what's in our clients' best interest. How do we take that to the next level of building the business with kind of that story? And I think that's really where
exactly
we take a big step.
I mean, I think you're right. If we take look under the hood, we're doing business the right way. We are treating our clients, we give them a great experience. And what we do versus those guys that, who aren't hearing from their advisor, who's out playing golf or tennis and just letting the sales assistant, do it. So that would probably be our number one need or gap that we always say, what's your gap?
Think of the Payo, Rick, in the Payo example of who they're working with and what, talk about, again, somewhat of a disservice, but tell Rob about the Payo story.
I think we might. So tomorrow we're going out. We have another new client who's a guy. He's a doctor. He's an eye surgeon in the area. He's in his 70s though, but he sold his house for like $2 million, and he asked a client of ours, who do you use for your financial plan? Your advisor. And he goes, oh, Rick Rogers. And the guy says, oh, I know Rick. I used to know him from tennis or something. We had a tennis connection years ago. And anyway, as it turns out, we also connected him with the realtor who sold his house. And so we had a lot of joint things going on there. And so Dave and I met with them. They said, well, we'd rather give you or we don't want to give our current advisor this $2 million. And we're not comfortable. And so anyway, we got the money. We're going to start we're going to meet them tomorrow, but they're hesitant. And they said they've been working with some local, a financial planning guy, but I guarantee we already know that they're loaded up with annuities and all this other junk that it's like, and I think they're realizing that they don't trust them now. They don't want to, but they don't want to give us everything yet. And so we're going to start with $2 million. But they're not getting any – they got no – there was nothing, Rob. I mean, they just jammed him in some of these kind of annuities, and that's it. Boom, done. And now the people don't even understand what the hell they're in. And but these are, high net worth people. He just,
Millions of dollars, and they have no idea really what they own. And the people that sold them these annuities, they haven't really been able to explain what they've sold, all the features of the annuities. And we're looking at it, and we looked at their website, the team that they're working with, and it's like, they're like insurance salesmen, kind of that claim, they're doing financial plan. It just, again, it seems like a little bit of a disservice for what is really the right thing for this couple and this family. And again, there's countless of people like that.
So besides word of mouth,
how do you get to those people?
How do we get to explain what we do, how we do it? And I mean, I would think, then we should be knocking people off, especially coming after a year like this, where maybe a lot of people didn't have the same experience as our clients did.
All right, so let's review this case just for one thing. Remember, as a good salesman, you always want your client to feel good. There's a story of a guy drives an old beat up car into the dealership, and the salesman comes up and goes, "Wow, what a classic." And the guy looks at him and goes, what are you talking about? Oh, my God. At the time, did you buy this originally? Did you buy this new? Yeah, I did, 20 years ago. At the time, this was the hot car. You made a great purchase here. Now, what just happened, guys?
Well, the guy felt great about himself. The salesman didn't put him down for how dumb he was for driving this old piece of shit.
Right. So how does that apply to what you're about to engage in?
I see it. Yeah. We can't let them know that they made some pretty bad decisions with their investments. But I mean, how do you spin that then? I mean, they're not happy.
Easy. Okay. Look, they're risk averse, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, they don't understand equities, they don't understand stocks and bonds, and look at it like supplemental retirement plans. That's how they sold it to them, okay? That's what annuities are, that's how they sell annuities.
Yeah.
As a doctor, you think of, I want to save for retirement, I need, and the guy goes, wow, I can get you a way of developing a supplemental retirement plan that's accumulates tax free.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, that's perfect. That's just what I'm doing now with my 401k. This is great. And in reality, for a lot of people, it's fine. Okay. It's just fine. They're going to be able to take a 5% distribution and get, $50,000 from the $1 million annuity.
Yeah.
So look at it and just see how extreme it is. Think of it as another 401k that they're going to take income from. And then just build from this point on, okay? Mm. And just say, hey, that was really good for your risk-averse money.
Okay.
And here's the way we want to look at your performance from this point on. We want to look at it in a holistic way. So we're going to report this being your secure money, 401k, and now I would ask for the ability to give him advice on his existing retirement plan, even though it's probably somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You want to use that as part of your asset allocation model.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that you don't end up putting $2 million into equities and that goes down and everything else is fine and he blames you for taking too much risk. Okay?
Yeah.
So what you want to do is always report on the total package in terms of asset allocation and risk management. And this is just a good example of these are selling skills that then come into risk management, which then comes into communication skills and so forth. So just think about that, right? You don't want him to be all upset and bad and he can't make a good decision you accomplish nothing. You're not going to, by him suing his other FA, brings you no pleasure nor any success. Down the road, if it appears as though these things are really underperforming based on, you know, then you've got a case, right? Here's the performance over time. This, you know, there may be a better alternative with a portion of that cash.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not like you suck. That was a bad decision. He's a criminal. We're moving it all out of there into. Okay. Now you're smart enough to not do that, but it's so easy to get sucked into that trap because you become irate at what you see. You know, somebody just selling product in order to make a commission, and they're not even anything that you guys would ever sell. But it's okay. You know, it's okay. People just, you know, there's a lot of people out there doing what that guy's doing. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure down in Florida too, right?
I've spoken to many groups that sell like this, you know.
Oh really?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. You want to find some experts on pipeline?
Oh, I'm sure they have the pipeline, right?
They have got
that's what they have to do. Yeah.
They can tell you what they're going to earn in the first quarter of 21 now based on the pipeline that they have. All new business.
Wow.
All new business. Yeah.
Crash-proof retirement. Crash-proof retirement.
There's one up here. It's called Crash-proof retirement. This guy is on every radio, TV, and
fixed index annuities. That's all they're
selling. That's all it is fixed indexed annuities. And, you know, and some of the claims that they make, I'm surprised, and it's because they're insurance regulated, not by the FINRA and stuff like that. And it's like, oh my God.
Well, and you know that. Look, the reality is, guys, that's why you prospect. Okay, that's why you grow. That's why you have a better pipeline than they have, because you need to protect good human beings from bad people. You just happen to have larger minimums. But the same people, I mean, they're just the same people, right? I mean, they're nice people. They just happen to be rich. But they make bad decisions too. There's a lot of doctors that just make really bad decisions. A lot of business people that make bad decisions.
Yeah.
And so you need to be out there working with and educating your community. So that comes back to your centers of influence, your mastermind group, your niches. So that's why I ask you the question, you know, what is it that you'd hire somebody for?
Right.
Because that tells me where you think the holes still are.
Yeah, well, that's definitely it. I mean, it's just it's still coming through, you know, just the random referrals like this and stuff like that. It's not a systematic marketing plan.
Well, and part of it is starting with a pipeline of who are our prospects right now, and how much do they have, and what will be the revenue yield from that, and just pretend you guys are life insurance salesmen. Pretend you're selling annuities. Pretend that this is the way you generate business, that virtually you get nothing from your existing clients.
Right.
And you've got to go out and earn your money next year. And so you each have to bring in $100,000 of new assets. I mean, $100 million of new assets next year.
Yeah.
Right. 10 new clients of 10 million or 20 new clients of 5 million, you know, something crazy. And then instead of ending up the year with 12 million, you'll end up the year with 60 million.
Yeah.
Or 80 million. Right. So that becomes the game is treating acquisition as your primary goal, rather than a secondary goal. And it really
so
is
I
now.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I talked to a guy yesterday. He works for a local, he's a younger kid. He's probably Dave's age. And he works for a mortgage company. And this mortgage company basically has him just as called business development. His only goal is business development, sales, and marketing. Getting out there, meeting with centers of influence, you know, his whether it's financial advisors or bankers, lawyers, that building a relationship. And then he has a whole team of underwriters who – so it's segmented. Their business is segmented, and that's all he's doing. He's out there and just constantly doing stuff with meeting people, building a relationship, and then they try to do something – adding value to that. They do some different video stuff that helps the realtors. And anyway, so that's his whole job. And, you know, so he's just like out there, you know, hunting and fishing for that. So, I mean, we do this on a, you know, obviously I'm out there doing stuff, but I don't know. Is that a designated person doing that? Or is that, you know, I don't know.
No. I mean, the question is, can he be a center of influence for you? You do mortgages, though, right?
Oh, this kid, yeah. I mean.
No, you do mortgages, oh, right?
We can, yes, right, yes. Yeah. We have mortgages. We're not the most competitive in the space, but yes, we do. We can do.
All right. So what I would do, I probably wouldn't make him part of my mastermind group, but I certainly would make him a center of influence.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, to have a set, to get centers of influence, you need to be a center of influence. All right, so he sees you as a center of influence, but you need to be a center of influence for lots of different people, meaning you got to be a connector. So I would suggest that for smaller accounts, he'd probably like a $200,000 mortgage.
Yeah.
Right? So you say to yourself, okay, everything under $200,000, we're going to refer to him.
Yeah.
And everything above that, we're going to take care of ourselves or something like that. So
right.
You're referring business, but you're not referring the biggest business.
Right.
Okay? Hang on one second. I have to take this. The market. Trying to get an issue. Hang on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about LinkedIn? I know you're a user of that. Did we just lose him?
No, I think Rob's still on. I still see him on.
Hello?
Rob, can you hear us?
Hmm. Give another minute. Time is it? 9:30. Does it look like he's on? Rob.
Oh.
There you are. Hello.
Hi again. Sorry. Sorry, I just had to. That was kind of an emergency situation.
Oh, whoa, 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 okay.
You know, with my brilliant knowledge of technology, I hung up from you guys.
Don't worry. Dave and I were doing this all the time. I mean, he's astounded of the things I do sometimes with this stuff. You know, it is my you know, technology expertise, too, is a little – challenged.
Anyway, so, here's what I would suggest for you guys. Couple things. One, hire a technology specialist and marketing guy. You don't have to hire him forever. Just hire him to get you fixed up and hire him to teach you how to use LinkedIn effectively.
We have a digital person now in our you know, region. And she's, you know, willing to come out and help teach us all these other things. And I think we're up and running with that. I mean, I do have it. And there's some content, but it's a matter of like, how effective is that? I know I don't, honestly, I don't go on LinkedIn. I go maybe once a month to look at it. So I'm not engaged in, you know, liking this and doing this with other people and developing the relationships. I just sort of have it. And I see, you know, you have some things on there now and then. And I'm sure you have somebody doing it for you, right?
No, I do it myself.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I have hired another guy, so now there's two of us doing it. He's working on, I just wanted to see how much value he could add and what he could do. There's a lot more people following Supernova Consulting LLC than there were. I never worked that, trying to develop that. That's what he's working on and trying to develop for me.
Yeah. But have you seen any advisors doing this and being, you know, having it saying, oh, my God, I'm so great with LinkedIn. I love it because it's doing this for me, that for me. Or is it just like subliminal for people who are on there? I don't know. I'm not a big user or believer.
Do you want me to read from my chapter in the Supernova Multiplier on use of social media?
Okay.
Or would you like me to just tell you about what I wrote?
No, yeah, yeah. Give me the Cliff Notes.
All right.
Since I use this Blinkist, so for quick books, this one's So just give me your opinion on that, because we're not we're not heavy users of that.
Okay. So that was sort of a slam against you, which you didn't hear. You didn't. The slam was, how would I write a chapter in my book on the use of social media if I thought it was a waste of time?
Right.
Okay. And if I didn't have examples of it, how could I write a chapter on it? So the point is it's chapter 10, page 137.
Okay.
The Supernova Multiplier. Okay. This is your homework.
Okay.
Read that chapter. Okay. So here's what I mean. Seriously, guys, you gotta do your homework.
Right.
You gotta be students of the business, and you've got to change rapidly. The business is changing rapidly, and you need to change with it as fast as you can. The markets are fast. Really difficult to keep up. You're being disintermediated every day by somebody. You, me, everybody. Everybody that's doing something, somebody's figuring out a way to do it digitally to get rid of us. Robinhood is going public, okay? And let me tell you something. They're coming for us. They're coming for you, okay? So when you say, link social media, I don't know if it's any good. No. That's like saying, I don't know if international investing makes any sense.
Yeah.
Okay? That's not a statement that will get you a lot of attaboys from a sophisticated marketer. They would be like, what rock have you been under?
Yeah.
Okay. So it isn't a matter of how much it'll help you. It isn't a matter of if it will help you. It's how much it will help you and how to leverage its. Look, guys, it's just the first time in my life where I've actually seen productivity go through the roof from the use of social media and the internet. It was been promised and promised. Remember, I mean, all these promises? We're going to do all this stuff and put these computers on your desk, and you're going to get all this productivity increase, and guess what? Nothing happened.
Right.
Now we're getting it, okay? We're getting amazing productivity increases like we've never seen. and it's all due to the pandemic. So, example, you want to close a mortgage. How long would it take? How long does it take now? When you have DocuSign, how long does that transaction take versus what it used to take? I'm putting together a project to help diverse population get in our business, right?
Yeah.
And that would take me, that would be 100 hours on the plane trying to meet the people and put that together. Instead, I can do the whole thing on Zoom or Teams or whatever you want to call the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I can do it in a matter of weeks instead of a year. Because I can get people from all over the country to meet with me and tell them my story in record time. So my productivity, if I so choose to make it, is amazing. Look at the deals we're doing. Look at the new issues. And that's with everybody at home.
Yeah.
How's that possible? What happened to the roadshow?
Yeah.
Where's the roadshow now? Okay, so artificial intelligence is going to change the ability of people to know who their target audience is so fast, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So you've got to be there, all right? You got to be there. I have FAs that go through LinkedIn every morning. That's their prospecting list. Every morning, every single day.
Wow.
Alicia Quinn. I mean, you know, the Quinn Group in Maine, I think they are. So she's in my chapter, and she talks about how she uses it every single day. I'm on it probably every day. I just met, for my project, I can get everything done. I'm meeting people that how would I find people, right? I'd have to ask for referrals. I'd have to network. I'd have to, you know, who do you know, da, da, da. But I can go on LinkedIn, and I can connect to different FAs. There's a guy named Gary Bridgman who used to work for us and then worked for Morgan Stanley and now is retired, but he's in charge. Anyway, he's African American, and I saw him on LinkedIn. He had just been promoted to a position of importance in the project I'm working on. So
wow.
I connected with him and I gave him my phone number, and he called me and he emailed me back and gave me his phone number and said, you know, call me sometime next week, Saturday morning. I got this Saturday morning at like 6 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, I called him.
Wow. Wow.
And he said, no wonder you're so successful. You're fast. I said, yeah, this is important. And we're setting up today I've got a meeting with his CEO to connect with them. They're the guys that the Institute for Certifications, you know, the IMCA group.
Oh yeah.
So they'll provide scholarships for these kids to get their CFA and help coordinate that whole effort. Now that would have taken, I don't know how long that would have taken, but bam, we're going to get it done. So I spent an hour on the phone call, gave him my whole program. He loved it and wants to help.
Wow.
I think you can do amazing things, guys.
Okay, so that's a definitely gap that we will look at to add. So I'm just thinking now, if like we're getting close, I don't want to tie you up too much longer, but now give me, you know, from your perspective, what does 2021 look like? Obviously, we went through 20, as you said, the pandemic changed a lot of way we do things. And a lot of it's now going to be done virtually, but now we're going to open up again next year. And at some point, whether it's the first, second quarter or third, you know, whatever, who knows? We're going to open up again. We're going to be back. What do you now see for, 2021, what does it look like for us that we should be capitalizing on?
You're going to have a 6% GDP. You're going to have a ripping market. You're going to have really good earnings coming through that you weren't expecting. It's going to shake everybody up because people that were out are going to be more mad than ever that they're out. People that are in are going to want to sell because it's like too much euphoria. Yeah. This is too good. And you're just going to have to hang in there and make them stay in. Because you've got this digital revolution that's happening at the same time you've got this spring back from the pandemic. And you've got an incredible productivity increase that's coming from working at home and with fewer employees. So you will not get the big spike in employment, but it'll be different employment. People will be able to get jobs, but they're going to be specialized jobs. So everything that has been done where there were like the universities are, they're not going to bring the people back that they fired. You know, they got rid of, you know, three departments and 30 professors. They're not bringing them back. So they're going to be more profitable. Every profitability across the board is going to go up because of the fact that we had to do more with less. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at you guys. Look how efficient we are. Look how fast we can move. Everything can get done now. So I think it's a big wake-up call, and frankly, the longer this takes, the better it is for us and the economy because people are learning to deal with it and working more efficiently and more effectively rather than just going to work and doing what they always did. This is called focus on the results, not on where you work or how you work. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to have a good market. You probably get another, you know, I was expecting a flat market to a down market. The things that I'm seeing, the companies that are coming public, what things that are going on, the changes that are happening in artificial intelligence, robotics, and and just the internet, I don't think it's going to slow down. I think we got another 20% market coming up here, and I think you're going to have to just hang on and try. And you got to take seriously telling the story and being the center of influence for your influencers, not just your clients, but you should have a group of influencers that you're teaching and guiding, you know, a realtor, a commercial realtor, a business broker, you should have six of those with two backups for each one of those things. For a CPA, you need two backups. So you should be meeting with the number one person monthly, the number two person quarterly, and the number three person twice a year. And you can do the whole thing on Zoom. If you want to meet with them in person, great. But Zoom is a miracle. It's a miracle for making these meetings half an hour and boom, you're done. So that's what, you know, make a mission for 2021 to read my book chapter by chapter and discuss together one chapter at a time. Seven strategies for growing your practice. And what we'll do is we'll just go through it chapter by chapter and talk about it and make it your business plan. Okay?
All right. No more
fooling around. You're too good. You're too good. Frankly, I know 12% is good, and I know 12 million is good. Okay? But it should be 120 million. Okay, it can be. With your talent, why not? You're just not thinking big enough, and you're not out there enough. You're not in the market enough. You just need you need a lot more Sams.
Yeah.
That's all. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm not putting you down. I'm just telling you what I see.
Well, yeah, the potential's bigger. Yeah.
Your potential is 10 times bigger. A 10 times factor. Okay? Here's the point. What makes you sick about other FAs that are going and playing golf makes me sick about your acquisition strategy.
Hmm.
You're doing half the job. You're doing
right, exactly.
You're servicing your clients. You're doing 12-4-2s. You're not doing the second half of your job.
Right.
Okay? So just let's just start now. It's perfect time. It's going to be a great year. People are going to be really mad and want to be in. They don't know how to get in.
Yeah.
And you can guide them in gradually, dollar cost average, and get them in. But you got to have them first. You got to have a good story. So work on your story. Make sure you know what you're going to say. It's going to be compelling. But I will tell you something. Tesla's not the first or the last of crazy companies that are coming. And you better know what the hell's going on, and you better get a piece of it, because it's the greatest market we've ever seen in our lifetime and will continue to be. Because it's a digital revolution. It's not a temporary thing. It's not
right.
Just an up and down stock market. This is a revolution like the Industrial Revolution, and it's changing everything. And there will be huge dislocations, including our business.
Yeah,
Look at PayPal and Square. What are they doing, and what are they going to do to our business? You know, what? Anyway. So.
This is good stuff, Rob.
Yeah, good stuff, Rob.
Okay, let's get fired up and make 2021 a crushing year, okay?
Absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely. Well, we want to just wish you the best, Rob, thank you for everything in 2020.
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
And just, you know, the best holiday season with you and your family, safe and health. But it's a fun ride. Let's keep it going.
Yeah, it's a blast. You guys are my favorite team. So
Let's
rock and roll. Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Take care, Rob.
See ya. Bye-bye.